Hey David, how are you?
Doing well.
Okay. So what we have on today, okay. So what we have for today, we're skipping around a little bit in the Sefer, in the book Beyond Darkecha. We're skipping quite a bit. We covered a lot of the material on month of Elul before Rosh Hashanah. And now we're going to do a chapter which in the printed book starts on page 192. I'm not sure what it starts on the PDF version that was sent out online. The pagination is a little different, but this is titled Maimar Beis Inyan Havidui. So if anyone is following in the actual PDF, they can find it that way. Okay, so Inyan HaVidui. The topic here is Vidui. Vidui is the confession, the confession prayer that is said many, many times over the course of Yom Kippur. And he starts off, he says, Vidui hu echad me'ikrei hatshuva. Vidui is one of the essential aspects, essential core foundational points of teshuva. Havidui, who may ikre mitzvah satshuva, vidui, confession, confessing sins in the way, right, it's formulated in the Siddur, in the prayer book. We say over and over again, I sinned this way, I sinned that way, I'm confessing for this sin and that sin, and there's a long, long list of dozens of different sins or different kinds of sins or categories of sins that may have been done that we're confessing to. So this is one of the essential aspects of the mitzvah of teshuva. V'hu tofes makom nechvad ba'avodas Yom HaKippurim, and it occupies a very prominent place in the prayers and the avoda, the spiritual practice of Yom Kippur. As it says in the Torah, v'hisvada elav, you'll confess to him, to God, as kol avonos b'nei Yisrael, all of the sins of the Jewish people, v'yas kol pesheihem, and all of their mistakes, l'chol chatasam, and all of their missteps. V'tzarach lahavin, and we have to understand, as etzem inyan havidui, we have to understand, we have to try to understand, what is vidui all about? What is this confession all about? What are we trying to do? Ubenosaf, and additionally, gam lahavin es ha'inyan, beribui havidui. We also have to understand why we do it so many times over the course of Yom Kippur. We do it 10 times. Ki arei anu mitzvadim b'yom ha'kippur ma'asar ha'pamim. We say vidui, we confess, we say the same exact confession in the tefillos, in the prayers of Yom Kippur, 10 times. Ubechol echad mehem, and in each and every one of them, anu mifratin pirat gadol. We are specifying a lot. We specify many, 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 many sins over and over and over again. And therefore, it begs the question, we have to understand why we're doing it and why so many times. What are we trying to accomplish? Ulechora, hadivarim chozrim al atzmon shuv v'shuv. It seems, it would appear, that we're just repeating, doing the same thing over and over and over again. And that's silly, that's pointless. So there must be something to it, why we're doing it multiple times. And in order to understand why we're doing it multiple times and what we're getting out of doing it multiple times, we would have to understand what it is that we're doing in the first place. And that's what the chapter is concerned with. So inyan hatshuva. So he begins by telling us that the point of tshuva, this is a something we've talked about many times over the last month. The point of tshuva is to leave the falsehood of the Yetzer Hara, leave the falsehood of the parts of us that push us to do wrong, the parts of us that are occupied with ego and self-preservation and insecurity, financial or otherwise. Hold on one second. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. Okay, so he starts off by telling us that the essence of tshuva, the point of tshuva, is latzeis me'asheker shel ha'yetzer, to leave, to get out of the falsehood of the yetzer hara, v'lachzor le'emunah, and to return to emuna, to return to trust in God. V'abir b'zehu, the explanation of this is ki hinei omek pu'ulas mitzvah hateshuva, the depth of the activity of tshuva, he, shekasher adam chote rachmano etzlan, when a person makes a mistake, when a person sins, the nimshach achahara, he goes after, he follows after wrong, hu kilu machers bezetz, as if he's announcing by going after, by seeking out something that is not proper, that's a mistake, it's as if they are announcing sheyesh chas v'shalom l'klipos ezekah. It's as if they are announcing that the klipos, the things that cover over the or elokus, the things that the externals of something, have an actual power, an actual ability, an actual goodness in them, a value. Ukiilu yesh bem tov. It's as if they have something good in them. Ukiilu lechitzonius hagashmis yesh mitzios atzmis, as if the physical externality, the materiality of things, have an independent existence, shekedai lahamshech achreya, that is worth going after them. Right? We keep using the example of like the cheeseburger, right? If kosher laws say don't eat the cheeseburger, then going after the cheeseburger, eating the cheeseburger deep down somewhere, he says, is coming from a place of the cheeseburger has value. It tastes good. It smells good. It looks good. It's filling. It has calories. It will give me energy. I don't know if it has so much nutrition, but maybe it has pickles. Pickles are a vegetable. Those will give me nutrition. It has stuff in it. It has value, right? And that's why I'm going to get something out of it, right? So what you're doing in doing that, or what a person is doing by doing that, is giving the physical, the externalities, the physicality of the cheeseburger, the material reality of the cheeseburger, power, right? It has a power. It has an ability to affect me, to do something to me, to affect me in a positive way, to make me no longer hungry, to give me energy to get through the afternoon, whatever it happens to be, right? But at the end of the day, announcing I am going to eat the eating the cheeseburger rather than I won't eat the cheeseburger because the halacha says don't eat the cheeseburger, you're saying that I need food and I'm going to get food. I need energy. I need this stuff that I'm going to get from the cheeseburger, and it can give me those things because look at it. Right. So we've talked about this many times in previous classes in the same book. But that's really, he says, that's the essential root of any avera, of any sin, of any mistake, of any misstep. Vihine. And behold, haklalhu, the principle here is shebedera she'adam rotza leilech molichim oso. This is a principle in the Gemara. The Gemara says that God runs the world using the following principle. In the way that a person wants to go, that's how God lets him go, or that's how God brings him along, right? If you want to go this way, I'm going to pull you along and help you go that way, right? We say this in the Yud Gimel Midos, that God gives us the power to do the things we've decided to do, even if those things are things that God doesn't want us to do. We use our choice to do things against the Torah or against halacha, and we have the energy and the life force and the ability to go ahead and do them anyway. Because if that's what I decided, God's going to let me follow through with my decision. V'lachein, and therefore, b'glal she'adam nimshach b'nasan chashivas l'klipos, on account of the fact that a person is deciding to give power and value to klipos, to the material, physical things that cover over the essential godliness of everything. Also, by giving them power, they have power over me, right? If I consider the cheeseburger to have value, now the cheeseburger does indeed have value, and now I want the cheeseburger, and I'm pulled towards the cheeseburger when I'm hungry. And this is a silly example, but we can come up with much more sophisticated, nuanced, and complex examples that are much more real world to real world experience, instead of kind of making this you know, one-dimensional. We can make it much more complex, but we're continuing to use the cheeseburger example because it's simple. V'hu margish shehem mitzios. A person then feels that those things are a reality in themselves. V'gover etzlo ha'chashiva shalara, and the power and the value of the wrong thing, the misstep, the mistake, the sin that one is not supposed to engage in, that becomes stronger, right? Because I'm giving it power, it gets power, it gets power, I give it more power, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that causes a person to be pulled after, to be pulled towards the beauty, the false beauty of the things that we crave of this world, the material things, the physical things that we crave of this world. I get pulled towards them. Rachmana litzlan, God forbid. And it becomes very difficult to be successful in feeling and recognizing the beauty of Avodas Hashem, of spirituality and connection with God. That becomes hard because I'm pulled after things that are not God. I'm pulled after the externalities of things, the physicalities of things. God is, of course, not external and not physical, and therefore I'm not being pulled after God. I'm being pulled after things other than God, and that makes it harder for me to connect to godliness. So that's sin. That's what's going on in sin and mistake. Aval kasher adam shav b'tshuva, but when a person does teshuva, mischaret al ma'asav harayim, and you regret the mistakes that you've made, b'zeh hu mafriz, by regretting the things that you did, the mistakes that you made, you're announcing shayetzer hara v'hevolav heim sheker gamur. By regretting the cheeseburger, you're announcing effectively that the hunger that I felt, the need for food that I felt, right, that drove me to do this thing instead of having trust in God that I will be fine as long as I follow you and attach myself to you. Instead, you say, I'm not going to be fine unless I have the cheeseburger. So now you're, by regretting that, you're announcing, you're externalizing, you're internalizing, externalizing, announcing that the yetzer hara, that evil, that pull towards physicality, towards materiality, and all of its emptiness, they are false. Ve'en tov amiti el Hashem Yisbarach. You're announcing that there's nothing good other than God itself. By regretting the cheeseburger, right? I could relish the cheeseburger. I could think fondly back on the cheeseburger. That was a good cheeseburger. But part of tshuva is, no, I regret the mistake that I made. And if I regret the mistake that I made, now I'm effectively announcing to myself internally. If I verbalize that regret externally, I'm announcing, I'm externalizing that internal regret. I may not announce it to other people, but I could be announcing it to other people as well. I'm publicizing that that cheeseburger held nothing for me. I don't miss it. I'm not happy that I had it. I wish I hadn't had it. I regret having it because it didn't do anything for me. Through that regret, you break the power of the wrong. You break the power of the wrongness. You break the power of the klipa of the cheeseburger, right? That meat and that patty between, and that bun with that sauce and the cheese and all of that good stuff, and breaking its power over me by saying, this holds nothing for me. It didn't hold anything for me. I see now that it didn't, there was nothing in it for me. Ki be'emes in lokoach. You're saying that in truth it had no power. Virak beglal she'adam nifte acharav. The hechshiv oso zeh nasan lakoch l'shaker l'ramos ilu yesh l'metzius. It's only because I was enticed, I was seduced by it, and I gave it value, I gave it power over me. That's where it got its power from. But that power is false. That power is deceptive. To think that it has an existence and a reality and a substance in and of itself, I gave it that. It wasn't real. It was my perception of it. And now I'm breaking that perception. Va'ata shegila es ha-sheker shelo, and now that I'm revealing its falsehood, nishbar koho, I'm breaking its power over me. V'chozeres ha-emes lisgalos, and now the truth is revealed again, which is this thing had no power over me. It had no power at all. Not only did it have no power over me, it had no power at all. In effect, what you're saying is that cheeseburger, it had nothing. I really, in truth, I'm seeing the reality that the cheeseburger couldn't make me full. It wasn't the cheeseburger that made me full. It wasn't the cheeseburger that gave me energy. It wasn't the cheeseburger that provided me with nutrition. It wasn't the cheeseburger that gave me a good taste in my mouth and was chewy and enjoyable and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't the cheeseburger, because the cheeseburger has no ability to do those things. The only thing that was doing all of that was God, was the Or Elokus that God decided to, you know, make me feel full, and God decided to give me nutrition and give me energy and all of that other kind of stuff. But the cheeseburger itself held nothing. And I recognize now that it held nothing for me. I got nothing out of it. And so I regret having it. I don't see any value in having had it because I didn't get anything out of it. Ubizem, through this, Anishama Mishachareres Meharash Arima Oso. Now the soul, a person's soul, is freed from the wrong that deceives it. Vihimatzlicha Leshazek Lashuv Lemakoma Vechoska Arisha. And now a person, the soul, can be successful in strengthening itself to go back to its original place. Shazem Evure Lashon Shuva, and that's part of what it means when we say the word teshuva, Lashuv El Hamakom Shayinu Bo Kadem, to return to the place where we were before, right? We were in a place where we recognized that this cheeseburger had no value. Now, we turned away from that place because we gave it value, so we moved into a different reality in which cheeseburgers have value. And again, this is just a simplistic, silly metaphor. We move to a place in which those things have value, and now we're returning to the place in which these things don't have any value, independent value to us. Va'az, and then, kasher adam naki, when a person is now clean from being overpowered and stuck in that stuff, v'aneshama mishuchreres, and the soul is freed, mechavle hachatayim, from the chains, from the shackles of its sin, right? Not the sin itself, but the shackles of giving those things power over me. So I need them, I want them. And from the falsehood of the Yetzirah, then immediately awakened within a person is a strong desire to now reconnect with God. Because you're recognizing, even maybe very, very subconsciously, but in giving up on the value of the bad, the cheeseburger, the things that we're not supposed to do, the mistakes we make, by giving up on their value, now, by default, what's happening is we're making space for giving God that value, saying that God is the source of all of that value, and now that bubbles up. Ki ke'es sha neshama nikiya, because now that the neshama, the soul, is clean, v'yecholo lahargish asa emes, now it can feel the truth, can sense and feel the truth, and now it can sense the enjoyment, the pleasure that one gets out of relationship, attachment, closeness to God, right? You couldn't feel that before, right? Because you gave all this power to the klipa. You gave this power to the material thing, whatever it is, again, cheeseburger as a metaphor. You gave that power, so you can't even enjoy anything in terms of connecting with God, because that doesn't provide the things that you've attributed power to, you've attributed goodness to. I've attributed goodness to food. I've attributed goodness to clothing. I've attributed goodness to whatever else it happens to be. Those things are what I enjoy, and the more I say that that's where I'm getting my enjoyment, then that's the more I see those things as giving me the enjoyment. So there's little room for getting enjoyment from things that are not physical, from things that are not material. And especially now, also more so from things, the more I find the enjoyment in prohibited things, I don't find the enjoyment in permitted things.
Oh, I want to ask a question. Well, yeah. More of a comment than a question. But I see from the, this is Maral, is the Maral speaking?
No.
What I see from the Sefer that you're teaching is that the author takes more of a Hasidic approach rather than a Musar approach, meaning
100%
that I'm seeing more that he's saying, you know, if you didn't eat the cheeseburger, your neshama's clean, and therefore you did tshuva, and your neshama's moving to a higher level, rather than saying you ate the cheeseburger and you have to go and work on yourself now in order to tshuva. So it's really interesting how the author of this takes on more like a Hasidish type of approach and saying, okay, he ate the cheeseburger, I received no benefit from the cheeseburger, and because I didn't, I really want to clean myself, and you do tshuva, and you're like kind of like you went to the mikvah, now you're clean.
Yeah, so astute that you're noticing that, 100%. Yes. That's definitely the perspective he's coming from. And also, we don't have to necessarily, I mean, he definitely intends this, but we don't even necessarily have to read this in metaphysical terms, like you're saying, of cheeseburgers make my soul dirty, and now yes, my soul is clean when I don't eat when I regret the cheeseburger, right? Mm-hmm. He's putting it in much more practical terms, almost psychological terms, which is, no, I gave the cheeseburger power over me because I said the cheeseburger is the cure,
mm-hmm,
right? I'm hungry, and the cure is not God, the cure is cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. So the cheeseburger now has power. Every time I'm hungry, I need that cheeseburger.
So you could take it and say, well, I'm in school, and philosophy is the whole
sure
thing to my whole life. And,
yeah.
And I can, you know.
So any, right. And so doing that with anything other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly this, is creating distance between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's creating an absence of dveikus, of disconnect between yes, me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm saying that that anything is the solution other than God.
Yes, because instead of dveikus, you're getting sveikus, like you're having
yes,
questions about
it. Exactly.
Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Is there any connection between when you take the power away from the klipa, that you're also taking power away from or weakening the Yetzer Hara?
You are, when you take power away from the Klipa, by, yes, the Yetzer Hara is the thing that convinces me that there are different ways we've danced around the concept of Yetzer Hara, right? But what Yetzer Hara really, really ultimately boils down to is, and there are different ways or different language in which we could put this, depending on what tradition we're talking about. But effectively, what the Yetzer Hara is I need something other than God to be good, to be okay. Right. So when I break that, to whatever extent I break that, whether it's I need this house, or I need this food, or I need this experience, or I need this this thing or that thing or right now or later or whatever it is. Right. That is Yetzer Hara. You don't need that. Right. You're fine anyway, because if this is the situation that you're in, then this is the situation God put you in. And so it's a perfectly fine situation, right? It's a difficult situation. It's a challenging situation, but you're okay in this situation. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in it because God is the one creating this situation. So as soon as I say I need something other than the way things are in order to be okay, I'm giving power to that other thing that I'm seeking. And that's the flip side of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is convincing me that I'm not okay. Right? We've said the Yetzer Hara is insecurity. The Yetzer Hara is fear. The Yetzer Hara is ego. All of those things, anger, whatever, you know, we can use a whole bunch of different negative things for the Yetzer Hara. But yeah, so when I break the power of that clip, I say, no, this thing doesn't fix me. Then I'm breaking the power of the Yetzer Hara that's telling me I'm not okay. I'm saying I am okay. This thing's not going to fix me. I don't need this thing. It's not going to help anyway, right? I'm fine the way things are. I'm fine the way as things are, because the thing that's connected to the way things are is God, right? God is creating my reality at this moment. And if I'm fine with that reality, that means I'm accepting or I'm trusting that God's constituted reality for me is the right one. If I'm seeking it elsewhere, that means that my ego, my sense of the way things are supposed to be is what's right. And now I need things based on my own distorted perception. I need things outside myself. And then I give those things, klipa, power over me.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay. So then when you do this, you can see the beauty of Vyasa Yofia, Imesra B'Torah Kedosha, Yofia Panimis. And then you can also see the beauty of the Torah and the beauty of panimius of internality, right? Because you're seeing the inner side of things, not the outer side of things, right? So now I look at the cheeseburger and I see beyond the patty and beyond the bun and beyond the pickles and beyond the cheese and beyond the sauce. And I see the internality of this thing, which is a Ratzon Hashem, which is a divine will that says don't eat it. That's what's going on inside of this cheeseburger. That's what's constituting the cheeseburger, is a will from God that says, I'm constituting something that you shouldn't touch, you shouldn't eat. That's the internality. That's what I'm appreciating, because now I'm not touching it. I'm saying there's nothing for it. There's nothing for me in it, because I'm focusing on its inner reality rather than how juicy and delicious it smells and looks. And then by default, all of the delights of this world, they all melt away. All of the nice things in this world, they melt away. They don't have power over us. They become empty. They become pointless, empty. That has no independent real value. Right now, that doesn't mean they're meaningless. That doesn't mean we don't have something to gain out of them. But they're all just vehicles of devekas. They're all just vehicles of connectivity, of attachment with God, ways of accessing, seeing, perceiving, and connecting to God. And therefore, none of them entices me in and of itself. Okay, so that's again just a review. And this one, the formulation here is in some ways more poignant than some of the other formulations of the same idea that we've seen earlier in the book. But that's the essence of what teshuva is and what it's doing. Okay, so now we can go on to explain to us vidui, the concept of verbal confession that we do on Yom Kippur. So havidui hachraza shaharahu sheker. So now vidui is an announcement, a declaration that the evil that I've engaged in was actually false. Okay, that's what we're doing when we do vidui. All of this that we just talked about, this is what you have to have in mind. This is what you have to focus on when reciting vidui. Dahainu, meaning, shekasher adam mefarid es averosa, when in vidui, when in our verbal confession on Yom Kippur, we are specifying our sins, Yechavin lahachriz, have in mind, focus on declaring, this is what's going on, you're declaring, shehara hu ra v'sheker, that the bad, the evil is evil. It's not good, it's bad. The cheeseburger is not good, it's not delicious, it's not enjoyable, it's not nutritious, it's not satisfying, it's false. V'tzarach lahargish heitiv, and you have to feel it. Genuinely feel it. Shekol hara v'hataivos shel hachitzonius, that all of the wrongness and all of the craving for externality came sheker. They are false, right? It's false things trying to pull me in, right? It's a false impression that this thing has value or that thing has value. V'heim kamayim maluchim. It's like salt water. She'enam marim maravim kulum. And they don't help. They don't quench our thirst. Right? You drink salt water, you're very, very thirsty, right? I need a drink. And you dip your cup in the ocean and you take a drink, you're much worse off than you were before. You're not going to have your thirst quenched. In fact, you'll end up more thirsty for more water that you also still don't have, right? That's the metaphor here, right? That the cheeseburger is like salt water. I think I'm hungry. I think I have low energy. I need food. I need whatever. So I think eating the cheeseburger is going to solve that problem. No, he's saying the cheeseburger is like salt water when you're thirsty. Yeah, you are thirsty, right? We're not denying that you're thirsty. But the salt water is not going to help you. So you better not try it. It's going to make things worse. V'tzarech lomar zebepeh. And you have to say the vidui. We say the verbal confession. We don't read it with our eyes. We say it verbally with our mouth. Dafka. Specifically, it has to be verbalized. Ba'amiras vidui. By saying vidui. By saying the confession. Kedei lahotzi es hamachshavos v'hargashos ha'elu l'po'al ma'asi b'dibor. In order to bring out these ideas which exist in our minds, to bring them out as practical, actionable actions through our speech, right? We want to transfer the abstract idea that's in our head and express it verbally, where it becomes much more concrete and is put out there in the world. Because only by externalizing it, by verbalizing it, that's how we reveal it for real. As Kavod Shemayim, the honor of heaven. This is a equivalent return, right? Because what did I do when I sinned? What I did when I sinned is I took an abstract idea of this has value, that has value, God is not sufficient. I need these other things. I took that idea, which is just an idea, and I externalized it. I made it real. I manifested it in action. So now I have to do something to balance out the scale, so to speak. I have to take the abstract idea of rejecting the mistake that I made, but I have to externalize it and make it more concrete, verbalize it. And through confessing, through vidui, we accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven with love. And we try to feel with all of our hearts that really all we want is to live with holiness, just in unity with God. That's all we really want, right? Of course, sometimes our insecurities and our egos, etc., get the better of us. But what we really want is to just be okay with how things are, right? If I'm hungry, I'm hungry, and I don't need to eat the cheeseburger. I'll wait until I can eat something kosher to satisfy my hunger, right? Or if I need this or I need that, or I feel, that I'm missing something or I'm needing something, I'm going to engage in things that Torah permits me and wants me to engage with. That's where I will find my satisfaction, but not in the things that it doesn't want me to engage in. There's nothing there for me. And we're trying to yearn. This is again all part of the video. We're yearning to be able to see everything from an internal perspective, right? So we're yearning that when you put a cheeseburger in front of me, I don't see a cheeseburger. I see, don't eat this. I see a ratzon. I see a divine will that says, no, this is not for you. It's not going to help. That's what I want to see. Dahainu esa emes halakus. I want to see the divine reality in everything. I don't want to see the cheeseburger. I don't want to see the clothes. I don't want to see the working on Shabbos, whatever it happens to be. What I want to see is the divinity, the divine will within that experience, within that thing, within that food, whatever it happens to be. That's what we don't always see that. We're human beings that live in a physical world. We're physical creatures, right? This is a very lofty state to live in, that we just see the underlying source code, so to speak, behind everything. We don't really live that way. But the point of Vidui is to yearn to live that way, and to genuinely yearn to live that way, even at the same time as we're not actually living that way. Ube'emes, and in truth, ha-vidui nemar achar tfilas hamida. During the Yom Kippur prayers, right, Vidui is said after Shmona Esrei, after the Amida prayer. Why? Ki tefilas Hamida, the Amida prayer, anachu magiyem lebechinas olam atzilus. During the Amida prayer in Kabbalah, in the Kavanos in Kabbalah, what happens during the Amida is that our consciousness enters into the space called atzilus. Dahainu l'hakara v'hargasha. It's a place in which there's nothing outside, there's nothing even with the appearance of being outside of God or separate from God. And that's where our consciousness, in theory, has the potential to go to during the Amida prayer, that we can appreciate this fact. V'lachin, and therefore, dafka achra shezokim lachoyos azeh, and specifically after we're able to live that reality through the Amida prayer, anuponim lamasenu. Then we turn to our actions in this world, our physical actions, right? We just went all the way up here, way outside the physical world. And now we return back down to, now we can look at our physical actions, so to speak, from a bird's eye view in a detached way, right? I'm not stuck in those actions. I can view them in a detached sense where I'm not mired in them, right? I'm objective.
One thing I I thought our prayers go beyond the Tillis to the Kisya Kavod. I'm confused. Doesn't when we daven on Yom Kippur, doesn't our prayers go all the way up to the Kisya Kavod?
Yes, I mean all of our prayers in theory go to the Kisya Kavod.
Yeah.
But in terms of our consciousness, our consciousness, Shemona Esrei takes us to Atzilus. What exactly is going on? It's a much longer we'll leave it at that for now because it's not okay. So then we can look at ourselves objectively, right, from a bird's eye view, so to speak, because we've gone all the way up here, right? Umis charatim al kol riboy toyusenu, and then we can regret the many mistakes we've made. Umagalin bepen, we can reveal them with our mouths. We can verbalize them as hargash as halev, and the sense and the feelings in our heart. She'ein tov el Hashem Yisbarach. We can say it, we can verbalize it, and we can verbalize it with truth, and we are able to recognize it from a distance, so to speak, right? A metaphorical distance. We haven't gone anywhere.
Right? Yes.
But in our consciousness, we can see ourselves in a different light through a good Amida prayer. The Iker Mashat Sarach La'amo Bizman HaVidoy. And so the core of what you're supposed to do in Vidoy, in confession, is Lahachdir Hetiv Bilibenu, to really internalize, to bring it into your heart, Shara Ein Bo Klum, that the wrong, the bad, has nothing to it. V'afshu Laihu Matuk B'Tchilaso, and although it might have been sweet initially, right, the cheeseburger was yummy, and it was satisfying. Mikol Makom, nevertheless, Humar Ma'od B'Sofa, at the end, it didn't do anything for me. It was bitter at the end, right? It didn't feel good at the end. It didn't help me in the end. That's what I'm trying to identify, right? So if I'm looking at particular things through the lens of vidui, of confession, and what I'm aiming for, he's saying, is not a long list of all of my terrible things that I've done. And what I'm trying to do is to transcend the terrible things that I've done, and recognize that I got nothing out of them, and be able to verbalize that, to concretize that thought in words. And that's what vidui is. The MS he she'ein tov el Hashem Yisbarach, and that the truth is that there's the only good in the world, the only good is God. Shehu panimius hakol, which is the internal reality of everything anyway. The kabbal al atzmo la'atid, and then I accept the final step of all tshuva is a commitment for the future. The kabbal al atzmo la'atid, and then I accept upon myself, I commit myself for the future. Shelo l'leches achar chitzonius kol. That I won't follow after that external materiality of things again. Rather, now, from now on, I'm going to constantly be searching for the internality, the inner reality, as a MS, the truth behind the appearances. I'm going to be, next time I see a cheeseburger, I'm not going to see a cheeseburger. I'm going to see source code of Ratzon Elokus, of divine will that says, don't eat this. It's not. There's nothing in it for you. You're not going to get anything out of it. That's the goal. That's what's happening, or that's what should be happening, or what we try to make happen through vidui. Okay, marbin, and then he goes on. He says marbin vividuyim kedei laharshish hazeh, and we say it many times. We say vidui 10 times over and over and over again to root this idea, to root this very deeply, right? To root this recognition of the mistakes I've made had no benefit to me, and I recognize that I got nothing out of them. And really, all I want is to be able to see the underlying reality of all of those mistakes. And next time, I won't make that mistake because I won't be enticed by it anymore because I recognize there's nothing good in it for me. So the idea is to get that deeply rooted. Vine klal gadol husha kol davar sherotzim lahach zero leleit sarach washav alav shuv v'shuv. As we know, anything that you want to really deeply internalize in your heart, make it part of your being. Right, it's not kind of something I impose upon myself or I fight with myself about. It's just second nature. The only way to do that is to do it again and again and again and again and again. Habituate. Every time you do it, it becomes a little bit more deeply ingrained, a little bit more deeply ingrained. We could speak about it neurologically and say every time we do something, our brain, something is clicking in our brain. We're making connections between different nodes in our brain. And we're creating a new neural pathways. And the deeper that neural pathway is, the more second nature something becomes, the more second nature a way of thinking becomes. V'lachein, and therefore, anu chozrim ala viduyim shuv v'shuv. That's why we do the vidui again and again and again, 10 times over Yom Kippur. Kedei lahachdir es ha'emes, to internalize the truth, ad omek halev betachlis, until the deepest, most essential parts of this of our hearts. Livrach legamri mehara, to completely flee from the wrong. Umitfisas hachitzonius labada, and from being taken hold of by the externalities. Ad shenagia lesina mamish leklipa. So until we get to the point where, like, we have this visceral hatred for the klipa, we have a visceral dislike for the things that we're trying to avoid. The kevin shakach, and once you do this, ein dai lomar es havido b'amir ba'alma. Right? If that's what we're seeking, it's not enough to just say it shuv v'shuv, again and again. Ela ha'ikar, who the important part is, shebechol vidui nisbonin. In each and every time of the 10 times we say vidui, you have to be meditating. Shuv v'shuv, you have to meditate again and again, deeper and deeper. You meditated on it once, so now it's already sitting in your mind. So the next time you meditate on it, you can sink a little bit deeper into that idea. Biroa v'godal ha'sheker shel ha'klipos, about how unhelpful, how bad, how false all of the klipa that I've been chasing after is. Shemes askim im chitzonius levada, because that causes me to engage just in the externalities of things. Umis almim umalimim es hapnimius, and they cover over, they hide the internality of things. Amnon, however, yesh lizar. This is very important. Okay, this is kind of the point I really wanted to get to in this chapter, and if we don't even get further than this, it's worthwhile. Amnon, however, yesh lizar. You have to be careful. You're saying vidoy again and again and again, this long list of sins that you can that you've confessed to. In fact, the truth is you can go into any Judaica store and there are little pamphlets there that, in connection with each of the verbal confessions in the sitter, there'll be a list of actual sins in this little pamphlet, and you can, like, check them off and see which ones you do. Right? He says you have to be very careful that when you do vidui, lo lachshav ba'averos asvam, don't think about the actual sins themselves. That's not the point of vidui. The point of vidui is not to pile on guilt and shame over all of the terrible things that we've done. And that's not the point of vidui. The point of vidui is not to burden ourselves with the heaviness of all of the mistakes we've made and everyone we've hurt and so on and so forth. Ki zen mesukan, this is very dangerous. Shema yimshuchu chas v'shalom, because maybe it'll pull you in. And I think we've talked about this in other contexts, but Rabbi Nachman talks about this and Rav Kook talks about it. One of the big dangers of teshuva in general is if you approach teshuva with a focus on the sins that you've done instead of a reshift back towards God, all of those sins you've done will weigh you down and destroy you. You'll never climb back out because you can't see yourself as being able to even take the next step. Okay. Rather, he says, Ella, instead of thinking about the sins that you've done, instead of reflecting on them, instead of identifying all of them, Ella rak yazkir sam, you just mention them, you just remember them. You don't sit on them. Derech mavar, in passing, right? This is why the vidui is very general. If you read the actual vidui, the text of the actual vidui, it's very general, it's very abstract, right? The sins, right? I've sinned. I've made mistakes, etc. The sins that I've committed on purpose. The sins that I've committed by accident. The sins that I've committed with my eyes. The sins that, right? They're very, the sins that I committed with my mouth, with my hunger. It's very abstract. It's very general, right? Derech mavar, you do it in passing. Umiyad, and immediately yisbonin be'emes ha'alakos. Immediately, as soon as you even recall or mention any sin in passing, shift away from the sin, and remember, reflect on not the sin, but on the divine truth, the truth of godliness. Shekol hatov hu rak Hashem Yisroel, that all goodness is only in God and in the Ratzon Hashem. Vilu aklipos, and the klipos, v'chol chayel se yetzara, and all of the legions and tools and powers of the yetzara, heim ra umar v'sheker, they're just bitter and bad and false, and there's nothing in it for me. That's where you have to constantly be shifting your mind back to. That idea, not I've done this sin, I've done that sin, I've done the next sin, etc., etc. I'm terrible. What caused me to do that sin? Why did I do that sin? How do I fix that sin? How do I control that sin? That weighs you down. There's a time for that sort of work. That time is not Yom Kippur, he's saying. Yom Kippur is about a turn back towards God. I'm not worried, not focusing much on the nature of all the things I've messed up, but focusing on the underlying root cause of all the mess ups, and fixing that root cause, which is just a lack of emunah, a lack of trust, a lack of connectivity with God, a belief that there's something valuable outside of God, i.e. the cheeseburger can do good for me, even though God said don't eat it. The isponin, and you should reflect on, you should meditate on, shekomasha yehudi nafal chasashon, that every time, every place, all the instances in which a Jew falls, zebeglal shebeemes hu mishtokek lelukus, it's really because that person is yearning for God. Here's the other thing he says to reflect on, to meditate on while saying vidui. Instead of reflecting on how bad you are because of all the mistakes you made, he says, understand that every time a Jew makes a mistake, the source of that mistake is a desire for God, a desire for connectivity with God, right? Why did I make the mistake in the first place? Because something felt off. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was uncomfortable. I needed this. I needed that. I didn't feel at peace. When I don't feel at peace, what's really happening internally is my soul, he says, is yearning for connectivity with God. I made a mistake. I thought I could fix the angst. I could fix the insecurity. I could fix what's wrong by going to the cheeseburger, by drinking the salt water. That's not going to fix it. But really what was motivating the discomfort that then I tried to address in an improper way, in an ineffective way, was just a yearning for God. That's why we mess up. We mess up not because we're bad. We mess up actually because we're good. We mess up because we're good. We just misdirect how we are channeling that goodness. Elashata, right? A person is really yearning for God, but they made a mistake. And they took that yearning and they tried to address it in an improper way. They took the or, they took the light together with the klipa, together with the covering, meaning they took the yearning for spirituality and they tried to address it by seeking out something material. Velo horid es haklipos, instead of leaving aside, throwing off the klipa and tossing aside the klipa, val zehu shav ata, and this is what you're fixing now. This is what you're returning from now. That's what tshuva is. You're returning from that mistake. Not you're bad and I have to be good, but I've always been good, but my good has been directed not in a spirit, but I've been channeling that goodness, that yearning, that seeking goodness, by seeking out other things because I mistakenly thought that those other things have value, can satiate my yearning. Umiyad mischaperlo, and that's why immediately Yom Kippur affects forgiveness, affects atonement. Right, because if this is what you're doing, you're nipping the thorn bush at the roots. You're digging it up at the roots. You're not cutting it back thorn by thorn. You're not burning it. You're uprooting it entirely because you're taking the ground from which it grows and you're totally transforming it. You're taking the original mistake that caused all your sins, and you're flipping it around and recognizing what the root cause of everything was, and you're addressing that root cause, which in truth is much easier than addressing the sins. You can spend your entire life playing whack-a-mole with sins, but if you're not addressing the root cause of where those sins are coming from, you'll never get anywhere because you're trying to exert your willpower to be in control of, I'm doing this, I'm going to control myself from doing that, I'm going to force myself to do the right thing here instead of the wrong thing there. You have to win every battle, and you can't win every battle. But if you address the root cause, he's saying, if you address the mistaken belief that the cheeseburger has value for me, and then I never want to eat the cheeseburger because I never see the cheeseburger as something that can fix my hunger. So what do I go after the cheeseburger for? It's not going to help me anyway. I'm hungry, and cheeseburgers aren't going to make me hungry. It's recognizing that I'm thirsty, but I don't want to drink salt water. No matter how thirsty I am, I'm not going to drink the salt water because I know that the salt water, internally on a visceral deep level, I know the salt water is not going to quench my thirst. Kibamis ritsono hayarak batov, because the whole time all you wanted was goodness. You tried to get goodness in the wrong places, but that's what you were seeking. You weren't seeking bad things. There's nothing broken about you. You were seeking good things. But you thought the wrong things were going to provide you with good. So now you just look back and try to consider, well, have I gotten what I wanted out of all of those things? If you can recognize not, then that's the point of tshuva. Vayadezeh, through this, yikana kinyan b'nafsho l'cholachrona, through this type of vidui, this is how you acquire a soulful thing for the entire year. To be able to stand up to all of the challenges you're going to face in the coming year, God willing, right? Because you can face these challenges if you're not trying to beat every challenge and making it an actual battle. Instead, again, as we said before, you're neutralizing the battles long before they develop. V'yucha liskar, and you're able to remember b'chol nisayim, each and every challenge, levatil esachitzonius, to nullify, to dismiss the value of the materiality of the thing. Next time I'm hungry, I dismiss the value of the cheeseburger. It's not going to make me full. Listakel bepinimius ha'inyan, and look at the internality of the thing. Look at the internality of the cheeseburger. What's the internality of the cheeseburger? It's a will of God that creates a thing so that it shouldn't be eaten. That's the internal reality of the cheeseburger. So the internal reality of the cheeseburger is not constituted as it provides me with nutrition and food and satisfaction. Because the inner constitution of everything is the spark of holiness, of godliness within that thing. The spark of holiness and godliness within something that is prohibited is a will to not engage with it. And once I see it in those terms, now I don't want to drink the salt water anymore. That gives me the ability to kind of remind myself, no, the salt water is not going to fix me. The cheeseburger is not going to fix me. Whatever else is, those are stand-in metaphors for, is not going to help. Actually, what will help is not doing it, is not doing it. There's more to the chapter. There's more to the chapter. He goes on a little bit and he talks about how, from this perspective, vidui is not heavy. Vidui is joyful. Confession is not heavy and shameful. Confession, vidui on Yom Kippur, is something that is lightening the burden. Right? Because again, my soul, my being has been shackled, has been weighed down by, I need this, I need that. I'm not okay if I don't have the cheeseburger. I'm not okay if I don't have this, if I can't do that, etc. I need those things. That's a very constrained existence. I'm not okay unless I have this. I'm not okay unless I have that. I need that. I'm stuck because that will fix my problem. That's a constrained existence. And so being able to say through vidui, mentally, internally, emotionally, and verbally in action, to be able to say, no, no, I don't need that thing. It's not going to help me. It's not going to do anything for me. That in and of itself is freeing. And now I feel free. Now I feel lighter. Now I feel less constrained by all of the things I needed. I don't need any of those things now. So now I have freedom of movement again. I can go anywhere I want. I can do anything I want. I can exist in any way I want because I don't need to be always tied to the cheeseburger, okay? And that generates simcha, that generates joy, freedom, a lightness rather than a heaviness. Okay, so I think that's a good place to stop. It's not the whole chapter, but it's almost the whole chapter. And hopefully that provides some valuable. Ways, kavanos, intentions, understandings of what it is that we're doing this coming in a few days on Yom Kippur, when we encounter these confessions again and again and again, listing sin after sin after sin. The idea is to not focus on the sin itself, but to really use it as an opportunity to internalize mentally, emotionally, and then to verbalize externally that all of the things I was chasing that produced all of those mistakes, I now appreciate didn't hold value for me, didn't help me, weren't needed, weren't necessary. I got nothing out of it. And the only independent thing that can provide me with anything is things that are in line with the Ratzon Hashem, because otherwise, I mean, if that's the only power in the world, really, then nothing outside that power can provide me with anything anyway. Okay, fantastic. We'll stop there. Have a fantastic night.